Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Now, Dave, you've just been to China and Malaysia, and it was a heartbreaking experience for me, but I'm sure it was a wonderful experience for you.
Look, it wasn't easy being away from you, Jade, but, you know, we got to see a lot of things in China, and, you know, it was 5 weeks, yes. Yeah. We went to Hangzhou, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Xi'an, and Beijing in that time. So it's a lot of places, but we, you know, I'm really glad that we didn't just go, okay, we're spending a day in each city and then we move on. Mm-hmm. Because the way me and my boyfriend travel is that we like to stay a couple of days in a city just to see what it's like. So we spent about 5 or 6 days in every city, just walking the city all day, taking the public bus, things like that, you know, just
being an everyday person.
Being an everyday person, despite the fact that I look Chinese, but I can't speak Mandarin.
Now, your boyfriend loves to rough it.
Yeah, clarify that. he's very much an intrepid explorer.
Yes.
So there's no 5-star suites at the Hilton. Mm-hmm. It's hostels and everything. And I have never done hosteling before. I've never done dorms before, but this trip we did.
Okay.
So I've stayed in 8-bedroom dorms, 4-bedroom dorms, and it's great. I actually really like it.
Yeah?
It's fun because you meet all these great people that are traveling from, you know, everywhere, all over the world, in that one spot, in that one room, and you just, it's just great. Mm. You make lots of friends and people are so friendly. And so one of the highlights is actually meeting people, I have to say. That's one of the highlights of his trip. Like, we went to India 2 years ago and I didn't feel like we met a lot of people along the way. Mm-hmm. But the minute we landed in China, that night itself, we met this random Mexican guy that was just traveling and he was going to start his internship in Shanghai and he had no idea how to get there and he had nowhere to stay that night. So we just shared a room.
Yeah.
It was just great. And then we end up traveling, you know, and seeing each other in Shanghai and all that. So it's one of those things where, you know, you meet people along the way.
Yeah.
But I have to say one of my highlights would have to be the Great Wall of China. Mm-hmm. I think that if you go to China, you have to definitely climb the Great Wall.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we didn't go to the touristy part. You know, I've seen people that have gone to the Great Wall and when they take pictures, you can see hawkers at the back, like people setting up their stalls and selling food on the Great Wall. Yeah. I think that kind of destroys the scene a little.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not my thing.
You're famous for your photos too.
So I don't want nobody to be selling dim sims in the background when I'm trying to pose. Yeah. But that's not the real reason.
Yeah.
The real reason is we wanted to see a more authentic side of the Great Wall. Mm-hmm. Because the thing stretches for like miles and miles and miles. Mm-hmm. So we went to a part that was called Jin Shanlin to Simatai. So it's about 2 or 3 Ks or so.
Yep.
And it's part of it's broken down already. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting trying to hike and climb that. The steps go from anywhere from knee length to just pitter patter footsteps. Uh-huh. So you never know what you're up for. And they're very steep and it goes up and down and it's winding. And it was such a challenge climbing. And you know, Jade, the day we decided to do the Great Wall, it was the 13th of February. So it was Chinese New Year Eve. It was minus 15 degrees. Now, I was born in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
I love the tropics. I love humidity. I like the warmth.
Yeah.
I have never been anywhere that cold before in my entire life. Minus 15 was just death.
I just got back from the US, of course, not that long ago, and they were in the middle of like a huge, huge cold snap, and it was like minus 10 or something when I was in New York. I thought it was horrible. It's the worst feeling.
And I covered up everything, you know. I might as well have been a Muslim woman because everything but my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I wore earmuffs. I did ask you, I don't know if you remember, because I've been listening to our podcast of when we were catching up after your US trip, but I asked you if people wore earmuffs.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up buying earmuffs because it was that bloody cold. And I had big, black, fluffy earmuffs, so I looked like Mickey Mouse.
No, I actually like, I've seen pictures of them. I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's character building.
Yeah. It was so cold, Jade.
Yeah.
So, and the best part was actually taking the flying fox at the end. Because after hiking and walking all that, you don't want to have to walk down again. So there's this flying fox thing. And I've done flying foxes before. So
it's like you just hold
on. You hold on.
Okay.
And you fly down the wall. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's a little catch. You're flying over a lake. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if you fall in?
Yeah. What if you've got harness and everything, but there's always that fear of, okay, what if this shit breaks?
Yeah.
It's green. This is beautiful green lake, but it's partially glassy because it's frozen over.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, please don't let me fall. And it was my turn to go. And they decide I should go first because really you want to hold up the queue. You want to send me first. I'm not going. So I was there and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I can't do this. They already strapped me on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this. I'm not doing this. And then the Chinese lady looked at me like, sit down.
And you just did exactly what she said.
And I'm like, I said, I'm not doing this. I can't do this. She's like, sit down. And so I did. And me and my boyfriend went together and was just like, phew, just flew. First 3 seconds, I'm like, and after that, I'm like, oh, God, this is great. This is beautiful. So overcoming a little fear of heights there, Jade.
Yeah.
But the other highlight was actually spending Chinese New Year in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because Chinese New Year or the Spring Festival is very much about family.
Mm-hmm.
So we were worried that there might not be as much happening in China, given that everyone's going to be with family.
Yeah.
You just think how big Christmas is here or even in the States, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how big Chinese New Year or Spring Festival is there. Things are closed down. The atmosphere is different. You know, everyone's just ready for a holiday. Everyone's ready to spend time with family. So, but the difference is they're allowed fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fireworks everywhere, every street corner. It was amazing, Jade. It was just nonstop popping for about 3 hours. So, and I've never had a Chinese New Year like this before. You know, Chinese New Year is about family. So I was away from family. I was feeling a little sad, but everyone in the hostel, including the hostel staff, were sitting around the table making dumplings.
Yeah.
So we joined in. We made dumplings.
Aww.
And we went out for drinks, you know, just acting a fool around the city. So that was, yeah, that was one of the highlights. But mm-hmm. Now you got a bit worried, Jade, when I said I wanted to move to Hong Kong.
I was devastated. I was like, this is ridiculous. Get home now.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Don't ever talk like that, Dave.
I will not stand for it at all, ever.
I was just so in love with Hong Kong when I was there. We were there for about 5 days, Jade, and it's not so much because they have Hong Kong Disneyland. Have you been to Disneyland?
I have been to Disneyland.
Did you feel like a big kid?
Well, I went there when I was a kid. I was 12.
Oh.
Yeah.
But being a 22-year-old, going to Disneyland, I just felt like, oh, my God, I'm a kid again. I want to take photos with Donald Duck.
Yeah.
You know, I would queue up for about 30 minutes just to have a photo with Donald Duck. But the highlight, and it's just, there's a lot of reasons why I think I would fit in well in Hong Kong. And that's just the fact that they speak Cantonese and I speak Cantonese,
mm-hmm.
and there's lots of English speakers there. But the fashion and culture is great as well. But the main reason, Jade, why I would ever leave you for Hong Kong is because of goldfish.
You would leave me for goldfish?
Jade, you don't understand. In Hong Kong, there's a place called Mong Kok, and it's a goldfish market there. There's a whole street, and it's just called the goldfish market. And it's just a whole street, both sides of the street, selling goldfish. Nothing but goldfish and aquarium and marine animals. I was there. I'm like, this is so damn cheap.
They've got that at Melbourne Show.
No, Jade. I've never seen goldfish this big or this morbidly obese before. Okay. These ones were yeah, they look like they're about to explode.
Yeah.
So goldfish is just, yeah, one of those things. But last but not least, Jade, mm-hmm. I don't know if you're going to be creeped out by this, but mm-hmm. when I say, you know, before we left for China, I said, okay, I'll try something strange when I'm there. I'll try mm-hmm. a strange food.
Yep.
I ate seahorse. It was deep fried, Jade. It was this tiny little thing, no bigger than my thumb.
Mm.
Deep fried seahorse on a skewer.
No.
Come on, Jade. It wasn't that bad. Have you had dried fish before?
No.
Okay. It's kind of like for those Asians out there, people that have had dry fish before, it tastes just like dried fish. It's deep fried. It's crispy. Ain't no meat in it. But it's, yeah. Had a particular smell to it, but it was fishy.
Mm.
But I wish I brought you back these, Jade, because when I was in China, I found flavored potato chips. And they're not your average barbecue chicken or tomato flavored or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They were fruit flavored potato chips.
Fruit.
Yeah. Look at you grimacing. Fruit flavored.
I've got a thing about mixing flavors.
I know. I'm the same too, Jade, but it became my little hobby to try a new flavor every night. So every night on the way back to the hostel, I would stop by the supermarket and buy a different flavor. Let me tell you what they've got. They've got cucumber,
mm-hmm.
cucumber-flavored chips. They've got mango-flavored potato chips, lychee, kiwi fruit, and the worst one, blueberry. Yeah, I know. You're pulling a face. I'm pulling a face on the inside.
Mm.
But they were all fine except for the blueberry one. And they actually taste like the fruit and veg.
Mm, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'll stick to salt and vinegar.
Well, that's my little wrap down of China. So, yeah, hopefully that inspired a lot of people to want to go and try seahorse or...
Now, David Lim, you are famous for your poses. You are famous for your self-portraits. What is your favorite self-portrait pose that you've got from your trip?
Yeah, I like to act like I'm on America's Next Top Model or something. Yes. I'm shameless.
Yeah.
And in Beijing... They had some really beautiful train stations that were built for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And outside one of the train stations, they had red lights. And it was like a silver wall. The red lights were down low. So mm-hmm. it was just red lights coming from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked like you were burning in hell. So I posed there and I did various poses. And that's got to be one of my favorite kind of top model-esque photos. And that's going to come on Facebook soon.
Is it going to beat the posed windowsill?
In India?
In India.
Oh, I don't know. They're both very different things. You see, I like to show a bit of range. Tyra Banks, if you're listening, I like to show a bit of range. So there's Indian Fort Dave and then there's Top Model Dave with furry earmuffs in Beijing. I promise I'll show you, Jade. But yeah.
Please post it to the blog.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Okay, Dave, while you were away, I had plenty of time to catch up on television because I had nothing better to do with my time, like, you know, read your blogs or your Twitter or your Facebook, which I normally spend all of my time doing, of course. So I started watching Parks and Recreation. Now, Parks and Recreation is a program for those playing at home that became like really hyped to begin with because it was hyped as like initially as some sort of spin-off to The Office.
Mm.
So the American version of The Office, not the English version. Because it was co-created by Greg Daniels, who was behind moving The Office to an American audience, and then Michael Shaw, who works as an executive producer or whatever on the American version of The Office. So they created this new show that was called Parks and Recreation.
And it's it's also based on like a workplace as well.
Yeah, it's based on a workplace. It's got that same sort of mockumentary style, you know, it's interview-based mockumentary style often. But there's... Apart from their style, they're not really the same show at all. It's not a spin-off. There is one actor, Rashida Jones, who had a sort of semi-regular part in the American version of The Office, who is now one of the main cast of Parks and Recreation. But beyond that, there's not really a huge amount in common, apart from the obvious, it's based in a workplace. The main character, of course, is Leslie Knope, who is played by Amy Poehler, who's
famous
for Saturday Night Live.
Baby
Mama the movie. she's very, very funny. So she plays Leslie Knope, who is the deputy director of Parks and Recreation Department in a town in Indiana called Pawnee. Now, I work in local government, so it's confession time.
Really? So this really hits very close to home, doesn't it?
It does. I actually really enjoy The Office for similar reasons, because they're both very good at sort of getting to the nuggets of what it's like to work in an office, like a day-to-day sort of, you know, just some of the, obviously they take it way to the extreme of, you know, levels of behavior. But, you know, I've been around situations where I've said, this is exactly what's happened in The Office. This has happened exactly in an episode of Parks and Recreation. Now, Parks and Recreation is very, very new. It was played over the summer on Channel 7, in Australia, but it's now started. It's about halfway through. It's a second season in the US. Mm-hmm. The first season was a bit, it had mixed reviews. It was, you know, people were kind of saying, oh, this could be a good show, but it's got some issues. And I tend to agree with that season. But season two, I've watched probably about the first 8 episodes or so, is a great, it's getting, you know, better and better. It's sort of finding its feet still, which is quite common for shows, I think, to sort of struggle and then find where they're, you know, you've got to kind of build to something, I think.
I know. I think it's a big pressure as well. If your season one was so good, like, have you watched Damages yet?
No.
With Glenn Close and Rose Byrne? See, no. I thought season one was great. And a lot of people say season two is just as good, but I felt that because season one was so amazing that, you know, season two didn't really compare. And you want a show that builds up. You don't want it to completely suck in the first season because no one will come back, you know, or stay
for the
rest of it.
You don't want to get cancelled.
But you
would think that, you know, there's a lot of character development that has to go on. And that always helps with a show. But
it's the same with 30 Rock. Didn't you feel that the first season of 30 Rock, you're like, we don't really know the characters yet. But then season 2, 3 onwards, and you're like, just okay, they're like best friends now. You know what the characters are like.
And you know, they're getting better and better. And that's kind of, you know, I think The Office is, you know, the show that the American version of The Office in its first season was very, very much following to the strict I guess regime or whatever of what the British version was. It didn't, some of the, I think maybe the first 3 episodes are effectively the same storylines played out in a new, you know, in an American situation, which, you know, you kind of watch it and you're like, I've seen this before. It, you know, it doesn't appeal to me at all. And it wasn't until they sort of started to throw that away and develop their own, you know, thing around the show that it's really kind of blossomed into its own thing. And it's, you know, it's a really good show. But yeah, Parks and Recreation, I love it because I work in local government and things so simple as, you know, the complaints that residents come to you with, you know, that are completely irrelevant, you know, oh, that's a police matter, but I'm still going to complain about it to the local
government.
What is
it? Can you give me an example?
Well, it's, I mean, I can think of things like, you know, oh, well, someone is, you know, in the street drunk and disorderly and they want, you know, the local government to handle it. Well, that's a police matter, you know, that kind of stuff. Or, you know, someone shows up at, there's a scene where in the first season of Parks and Recreation where Leslie Knope has a sort of a citizen forum situation where she invites the public to come in. She's trying to build a park. And they come in with a completely irrelevant statements, like, and this actually happens in, you know, real life situations where people come in and say, you know, this is a meeting about a park, but they'll come in and say, hey, my bin wasn't collected this week, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's their only opportunity to feel like they will be heard. So they don't care what your agenda is. They just come to you with their questions.
It's, yeah, so it's that kind of stuff. And then, you know, obviously there's the actual people that work within local government. I mean, local government or government more generally gets a lot of flack about people who are kind of disenfranchised and, you know, a bit unmotivated and all of that kind of stuff. And there is that to a certain degree, but then there's also Leslie Knope, the character in Parks and Recreation, played by Amy Poehler, is just like absolutely like perky and just loves it, like just lives and breathes it. And there are people like that. There Aww. Are people who live and breathe it and just like, you know, think it's great. And
think they're going to make a difference.
Yeah, think, you know, it's all about making a difference and it's all, you know, warm and fuzzies and, you know, people need us. How would they live without us? That kind of stuff, you know?
I got a question because there are people like that. Even I work at a call center setting and there are people that think that, you know, they're really overzealous about it and they come up with conspiracy theories when our system fails.
Yeah.
I'm like, honey, do you sleep at night?
Yeah.
You just stay up all night thinking about this. But do people like that, like the really perky characters that work in local government, are they like that because they're new and they're not as jaded?
Well, that's what's quite interesting. So Leslie Knope has worked in – so I'll use this as a – the example, she's worked in Parks and Recreation for about 6 and 7 years. There are people who are like, they've been around a long time and they absolutely just totally, there's a certain sense of, yeah, there's new people who are enthusiastic and obviously over time you kind of wane out a bit, but then there's also the people who have just lived it for, you know, years and years and years and just absolutely believe in, you know, the need for government involvement in things and, you know, like we're making a difference. Our, you know, this strategy makes a difference. This is, you know, this work that we're doing here makes a difference. You know, we need to help the people as much as we possibly can. You know, so that kind of.
Having said that, I mean, as a local government
expert
yeah, or sure. staff yourself, where do you sit?
Where do
are
I
you,
sit?
Are you perky Leslie Knope? So
do I come across as perky with Leslie Knope? Or?
You know, if we have to describe Jade in any word in the dictionary, any words you throw at me, I would not say perky.
No. I'm probably on the cynical side of things. Mm. You know, I do, you know, I really care about my job and I want to do a good job, but I'm quite cynical when it comes to
the change and the effect. And
yeah, the idea of like, you know, oh, well, we're just making this awesome difference. Like, you know, I want to make people's lives easier. You know, I want to make people's lives as easy as possible in terms of like, I know some of the frustrations that I have as someone dealing with government on the other end. I want to do that, but, you know, I'm not, you know, people will die without us, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, Parks and Recreation, great. You know, get on it now and start, you know, getting to know the characters.
I just see Different Strokes as this beacon of information, light. And we're almost, you, Jade, you're almost an oracle for all these TV shows that the mass have yet to really fully embrace. So if you listen to the voice of Jade and jump on board this show, I hope you don't regret
Sometimes
it
leads to heartbreak. Like
Pushing Daisies?
Pushing Daisies,
I got,
of course,
season two.
Yeah, it was cancelled. Dollhouse was cancelled after, you know, getting it escaped from the brink of being cancelled and was cancelled again.
You see, Jade may be the oracle, but she just can't predict the future.
I cannot predict the future and I cannot predict what the mass will like.
So our little disclaimer is take Jade's advice and tips on TV shows, but don't complain if they get cancelled. Yes. We're not responsible for heartbreaks.
Do not show up at the Citizen Forum and complain that I made you fall in love with Parks and Recreation and it was then cancelled.
You say that it's about pop artist booth character.
Pop artist booth character. Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Now, Dave, I have to tell you something quite interesting. While you were away, I received an email from someone who had asked me to be a fill-in on one of their programs in a couple of months' time. And they said, you can play Strummy Lala if you like.
Ooh.
So it's like you have like independently come up with this name for the style of music that I like. And now people around the station are referring to it as Strummy Lala and associating it with me.
Before you know it, Joy Music will have a category called Strummy La La.
Yeah, well, it's actually, it's interesting because some of the music team will often come to me and say, oh, you know, this is Strummy La La, I think you'll like it.
It's nice to know that people are listening out. Yeah. You know, these phrases are catching on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So tonight, look, while we're talking about music, tonight, and this is probably one of my favourite segments,
mm-hmm.
You know, just because I can get my pop music rant on.
Mm-hmm.
But the music segment where I get to do the album in a blend, and it's so easy for me to do, especially if it's an album I'm so passionate about.
Yeah.
And this one is by one Cheryl Cole.
Yep.
The she's a member of Girls Aloud. They're taking a bit of a break right now, and she didn't wait very long to go solo, no.
Okay. So she was working on it before they took a break.
I have a feeling she worked on it. I don't get an impression that she spent forever writing this album. It's not like your Strummy La La artist, Jade, that take about a year or two to really work it out.
Now, for myself and those playing at home, tell us, Cheryl Cole, like, who is she, like, Spice Girls-wise, like...
I would say, if we have to make a Spice Girl comparison, I would say she is the Victoria of the group.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. A, she's married to a footballer, just like Posh is to Bex.
Who she broke up with over text message.
I'm not sure about that, Jade.
According to tabloid reports.
That you made up. and Cheryl, for me, Cheryl always wasn't the strongest vocalist in a group.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Girls Aloud tours, you're like, oh, who's that tone deaf one? And it's like Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had very much confidence in her doing the solo thing.
Okay.
And another reason why I would call her the Posh of the group is because she is more famous than all the other girls.
Huh.
And finally, Posh went down the pop R&B thing as well. She tried a bit of R&B, mm-hmm. worked with Jay-Z's producer, and that stank. But Cheryl, who's also doing the pop R&B thing, has somehow pulled it off.
Okay.
It's very interesting. So this is, of course, the first ever solo Girls Aloud album.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl's album Three Words came out on the 26th of October in the UK. And here's another thing. She is also the judge on one of the UK's most watched TV shows, X Factor.
Okay.
It's like bigger than Idol over there.
Mm-hmm.
Millions and millions, like 22 million people watch it every week.
Okay.
She's a judge on that show, so it doesn't, you know, doesn't hurt her profile at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she released the album at the height of the X Factor mania. So it was getting close to the finals. Bang, she has an album out. She does a performance on the show.
Yes.
How convenient.
Cross-promotion.
Cross-promotion, stepping out from behind a judging panel and doing her own performance.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of guts, given that you're a judge, you know. People have a lot of things to say. And given that she's from Girls Aloud, she might cop some flack. But, you know, I think most people came away quite impressed.
Yeah.
So the album, Three Words, went number one on the first week. By the end of the second week, Three Words was already certified platinum. It sold over 600,000 copies in the UK alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where I was very skeptical when I first heard the single Fight for This Love, and when I first heard the album, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is great.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's all right. It has some good mid-tempos. I don't know if it's great. Will it go number one? Of course it will, silly. She's on TV. She's in the tabloids. Of course she will. Now, sonically, like I said before, she's gone for the light kind of mid-tempo R&B feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a million miles away from what Girls Aloud sound like.
Okay. What is Girls Aloud's?
Girls Aloud does the whole, it's pure sugar pop, and it's very, it's got a bit of a pop rock tinge to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very scatty with their lyrics. And where Girls Aloud very, very rarely, if ever, write their own lyrics, Cheryl has been given the chance to write some lyrics for her album.
Are you happy with them?
They're the worst songs in the album. It's okay, honey. You know what? Where your strengths are at. Let's. Yeah, don't worry about writing the songs for the second album.
Maybe she's after the extra 20 cents.
Yeah. No, I think maybe it's quite cathartic as well. Like she needed to write and get these emotions out.
She felt it in her bones.
Yeah. A lot of the songs, though, but she's known to pick good songs because as an X Factor judge, you have to pick songs for the people you're mentoring.
Okay.
And I think she picks very good songs for herself as well because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the songs, even though she didn't write them, could have been her own.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the songs that were on the album could have been by Rihanna, could have been given to Christina Milian or even Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were quality R&B songs. She worked with producers in the US, also in the UK, but most famously, here's the thing, Jade,
mm-hmm.
she hooked up with will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas.
Uh-huh.
Ka-ching.
Yes.
Black Eyed Peas are very hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you got will.i.am's love and support, he co-produced the album. He was the one that said, Cheryl, go do the solo album. I think you can do it.
Mm.
You know she's right on the money.
Yep.
So what happened was that album came out, and the first single Fight for This Love went number one. I think I told you this ages ago, Jade. Mm-hmm. It like became the fastest selling single of 2009 at the time.
Yep.
It sold 134,000 copies in the first day. In just 5 days, by the fifth day, it's already outsold Girls Aloud's first single. Mm-hmm. How's that? Girls Aloud came from a reality TV show, a lot of hype.
Yep.
A lot of people would have bought their first single. Cheryl, her first single within 5 days outsold that.
Mm.
So a lot of people are like, maybe there's no more Girls Aloud. Who knows? Three Words, which is the second single, became her first Aussie single. And you know how I said there's the Will I Am connection?
Yeah.
He's on the track. And a lot of people are saying that's the only reason why Australia cares.
And what do you think? Do you think that's true?
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard the song, I'm like, this sounds like elevator music that Will I Am would play in the lift,
mm-hmm.
going from his lobby up to the third floor. Like, this is not worthy of release. I didn't think it was great. But it's so different from, like, Girls Aloud. It's so different from just straight up pop. It's really dark and subversive,
mm-hmm.
that I think people, she's actually right now, just honestly speaking, a lot of pop songs are heading in that direction where it's dance and R&B. There's a bit more of that house and dance fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she might be a few steps before a lot of pop stars, and that's why she's winning right now. Do you want to have a listen to a couple of tracks on the album?
Yes, I look very forward to it.
You're listening to Different Strokes and Joy 94.9. Shall we have a listen to Cheryl's album here?
Different Strokes album in the blend. Cheryl Cole, Fight for This Love. Parachute.
I like the second one.
Parachute.
Yes.
Which is interesting, Jay, because Parachute has been chosen as her third single.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very stylish. You know, she's not the best. Cheryl Cole, I mean, she's not the best singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that. But I think she's establishing herself as a very competent and stylish pop performer.
Well, I've liked that more than any of the VB stuff that I've ever heard.
Because we know there's only a few people at Joy that will ever play Victoria Beckham, and that's Petra on the Sound Museum and myself and,
yeah.
you know, some other poor sod out there that thinks it's worth it.
Found the CD accidentally yeah. and gone, hey, let's give it a spin.
But, yeah, look, like you say, it's better than Victoria Beckham's stuff. But, you know, I think the key is to find songs that suit you. And I think Cheryl has found songs that are very now, but also very, you know, very songs that suit her,
mm-hmm.
that are appropriate. The Three Words album, unfortunately, my fellow Queens in Australia, the Three Words album has been delayed until April. It was meant to come out sometime this month. But in any case, Parachute, the next single, shall we have a listen to that?
Oh, you're going to play the full thing?
I'm going to play the full thing.
And awesome.
It's so weird that you're excited about Cheryl Cole, because my boyfriend, a really big hater of Girls Aloud,
mm-hmm.
is very much in love with Cheryl as well. So
okay.
maybe it was the group that was holding her down.
Indie crossover,
who knows?
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.